All right, Matthew 16. It says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Our Lord knew the thoughts of men before they spoke them. He knew the opinions of men. I believe that this question was put to the disciples to prepare them for his next question regarding their faith and knowledge of him. So he asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, verse 14, they replied. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. Just men. He asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, born of Mary, Bethlehem, Nazareth, whom do they say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's all I am to them, is the Son of Man, but whom do they say I am? Why would they say John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist was admired by most of these people and feared, even Herod feared John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet. He preached to many, many people. The whole world's gone out to hear him in the wilderness, they said. And he was the cousin by human birth. Elizabeth, his mother, was related to Mary, who gave birth to Christ. Some say you're Elias. Well, who's Elias? Well, turn to Malachi. Malachi, chapter 4. Chapter 4. Elias is talking about Elijah. In Malachi chapter 4, now this is the last of the Old Testament prophets, 400 years before Christ came in Bethlehem, Malachi wrote. And the last thing Malachi wrote in his book before the silence of God was broken by the angel saying, "Behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, and he is born this day a Savior." But Malachi 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth." They were looking for Elijah to come back. But Christ said of John the Baptist, "Elias has come." He quoted that verse from Malachi. He said, Malachi said, "Elias shall come." He's come. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. They said, "Well, he's Elias." And the others says Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They knew Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 18 that God would send a prophet. That prophet. And they asked him one time, "Are you that?" Or they asked John the Baptist, "Are you that prophet?" But whose opinions are these? The disciples, whom were they quoting? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Well, they weren't quoting the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Those people were Christ's enemies. But these disciples are quoting the common people. They associated with the common people. They lived in the villages. They walked the streets. They rubbed shoulders with the people. And this is what the common people were saying. This is what the Jews in different towns were saying about this Jesus of Nazareth. He's John the Baptist come back from the dead. He said, Elias the prophet who's supposed to come before that great day of the Lord. Maybe he's Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. Maybe he's that prophet. And then verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And notice he didn't say the Son of Man. Whom do you say that I am? I am. Not important what natural men think. Not important what the scribes and Pharisees think or what the common people think. It's not important. But it's of greatest importance what you think. Whom do you say that I am? You've sat under the gospel. You've been with me a long time. This is over in Matthew 16. You've been with me a long time. You have believed me. You have believed my words. Now it's time to make a full confession. Whom do you say? Whom do you say that I am? You'll be preaching to others. There must be no hesitation. Whom do you say that I am? There must be no reservation. Whom do you say that I am? Who am I? Fully convinced, free and open, no stammering or stuttering, declaring, who am I? And Simon Peter answered. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a grand confession. What a glorious confession. What a sufficient confession. If you know that, believe that, confess that, understand what you're saying, that's all you need. That's what Philip believed when he preached to the eunuch. He preached who Christ is. You remember the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, and Philip joined him in the chariot, and he said, of whom does the prophet speak? Who is this man he's talking about? Is it himself or someone else? Who is this? And Philip began at that same scripture and preached Christ to him, Christ Jesus. And they rode along, nobody knows how long he preached to him, how long they discussed this, how long they studied the character and name of Christ, but they came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, here's water, what doth hinder me from being baptized and confessing Christ? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Philip baptized him. That's it. That's the confession. There may be God's many, but there's one living God. If you will, turn to John 17. And our Lord said it's eternal life to know the living God, the true God. In John 17, verse 3, Christ said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is life eternal, to know the living, true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There are God's many, but one God. The living God. And he's the living God, Peter said. He's the living God who has life in himself and the giver of life. He's the living God. And Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God, the true Messiah, whom God promised, whom the prophets wrote about from the beginning, and the expected Messiah. Simeon was looking for this Messiah, this Christ. And when Mary brought him into the temple, Simeon said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. I've seen thy salvation. I've seen the Christ." The Messiah is a man. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, but not a mere man. He's the Son of God. Not by creation as the angels, not by adoption as the believers, but by nature and union. He's one with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true. This is the true God. This is the living God. This is eternal life. And our Lord said in verse 17, watch this. And Jesus answered and said to Simon Peter, "Blessed art thou." How blessed you are. How blessed you are. But watch what he called him. Simon Bar-Jonah. What is Simon Bar-Jonah? Simon Peter. But Bar is son of, and Jonah is his daddy's name. Blessed art thou, son of Jonas. Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. Our Lord put Peter in mind of his beginning, his heritage, his ancestry, his birth, his parent. You're a son, not of God by nature, but a son of a natural man. You're the son of your daddy. Don't ever forget it. Blessed are you, man. Blessed are you, dust. Blessed are you, seed of a fallen man. Blessed are you, natural man. You're not by nature a son of God. You're a son of a natural man. That which is flesh, born of flesh, is flesh. And no true blessedness comes through Jonas, your daddy. No true blessedness comes in any way. It's not by blood. It's not by birth. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of man. It's by grace, by God. Peter didn't see and understand who Christ is because his daddy taught him who Christ is. Our daddies teach us who Christ is in our mind, but they can't teach us in here who Christ is. Paul said to Timothy, "From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise to salvation." But your mother teaching you the Holy Scriptures cannot reveal to you who Christ is. It wasn't revealed by a human teacher. Listen, blessed art thou, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood didn't teach you that, didn't reveal that to you. Whom do you say that I am? You're God's eternal Son, the Christ. Your daddy didn't teach you that. Flesh and blood didn't teach you that. Who taught him? My Father which is in heaven. My Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, who I am. Flesh and blood just talked about a while ago who he is. Whom do men say that I am? John the Baptist. Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Whom do you say that I am? I say you're the Son of God. He said, you didn't learn that down here. You just learn that from a man. My father revealed that to you. My father revealed that to you. Turn to John 6 and listen to the Lord Jesus over here. John 6. My father revealed that to you. John 6. Verse 41. Here's the natural man talking again. John 6, 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it he says, I came down from heaven? Who does he think he is? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man, whatever his natural abilities, intelligence, or advantages, can, is able, has the power to come to me, believe on me, trust me, except the Father which sent me draw him. And the man the Father draws, I'll raise him up at the last day, because it's written in the prophets, they shall be all, everyone that comes to me, taught of God. And every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, he comes to me. Whom do you say that I am? I am the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood didn't teach you that. Oh, how blessed you are. My Father has singled you out. My Father has set you apart. My Father has sanctified you. My Father has taught you who I am. Blessed are you. Now, thousands of people saw and heard what Peter saw and heard. The Lord Jesus walked among them. He went about doing good. His birth in Bethlehem was common knowledge. The carpenter from Nazareth who raised the dead, common knowledge. The miracles, many people followed him because of the miracles. The feeding of the 5,000, common knowledge. As millions today hear and read the same truth. They even read about the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension. But they do not know who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is now. Because flesh and blood will not tell you who he is. It's the revelation of the Father. My Father revealed this to you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and see if this is not what Paul is saying over here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says in verse 7, these are the mysteries of the gospel, my friend. These are the deep things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 7, we speak the wisdom of God. Who is the wisdom of God? Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes, leaders, kings, scholars, princes of the world knew. Had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified him. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Neither have entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. That's not talking about heaven. Anybody can read that. Streets of gold, no problem. Gates of pearl. Eternal existence. No sickness. Anybody can read that, but justification, sanctification, righteousness, the nature of God, how God can be just and justify, how a man can die and live again, how an unclean thing can produce a clean thing. Those are mysteries, and they do not know those things. But, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us. Who did? God did. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, of God. My Father revealed that to you. Men who are left to the power of reason and the light of nature will never know who Christ is. Good man, John the Baptist, Elias, one of the prophets. Good man, good teacher, moral reformer. But they'll never know who he is. They'll never believe his gospel, because the knowledge of Christ is a revelation of the Father. The Father has to teach us. Turn to Matthew 11. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen to Christ in Matthew 11, verse 25. Read it carefully now. Our Lord had just rebuked these cities in which His mighty works were done, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and all the rest of them. He said it's going to be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than for you. Because if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, it'd still be standing. And then He lifted His eyes to heaven and He said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank Thee. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and Thou hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Salvation is by revelation. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, is of the Lord. Now listen to this statement. That there is a God is discoverable by the light of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. By creation and the things that are made. Conscience. The fact there is a God is easy to discover by these methods and means. Creation, nature, the heavens, and conscience. But that, listen, that God has a beloved Son of the same nature with Him, equal with Him, with whom He made a covenant of mercy and grace before the world began, to whom He gave a people from Adam's race, every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, to be their surety, their federal head, their representative, to be redeemed by Him becoming a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, by Him being made of a woman, and obeying God's law, every statute and precept perfectly, loving God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to suffer on a bloody tree, the Messiah, the Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. No man knows Him but the one to whom the Father reveals. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon, son of your daddy, and all the daddies before him, to Adam, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father, which is in heaven. And then he said in verse 18, and I say unto you that you're Peter. Now, Christ gave him that name a long time before this happened. Long time. Turn to John 1, first chapter of John. When our Lord Jesus Christ first called Peter, and Peter first laid his eyes on Christ, the Lord Jesus gave him that name, Peter, a stone. In John 1, verse 42. Let's read verse 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, you're Simon, the son of Jonah, but thou shalt be called Cephas, Peter, which is by interpretation a stone. First falling. Peter, the burly, I always thought him to be big and strong and kind of loud and boisterous and profane and with apologies to all my red-headed friends and red-headed. And our Lord looked at that uncouth, vacillating. One time he was high, another time he was low. One time he was going to whip the world, next time he was going to quit. He said, you're a stone. You're not now, but you're going to be one. You're going to be a stone. You're going to be a stone. No matter your ups and downs and ins and outs and variations, and but you're going to be a stone. And that's the reason, is because of that confession. Peter believed that confession. He said, Lord, when he was at his lowest point, he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Yes, he knew Peter loved him because he called him a stone, didn't he? Way back yonder. But he said, I say unto you that you're Peter, a stone. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Not on Peter, for heaven's sake. The church would be in real trouble if it was built on Simon Peter, wouldn't it? Or me or you or any other man. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ. Christ built his church on this confession. That's what he's talking about. On this truth, who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is. Christ's church, his people, one body of believers who agree, believe, and rest on this testimony, this sufficient, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. The plain sense is this: our Lord will build his church upon himself and upon the truth of who he is. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. In fact, all of us are stones. That's right, all of us are stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 3, 1 Peter 2, 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, Oh, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a temple, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, as it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore that believe, he is precious. Unto them that be disobedient, he's the stone which the builders disallowed, and he's the head of the corner. And we're built on him. So our Lord is saying here that his church, his body of believers, every believer confesses this, Christ, the Son of God, chief cornerstone, our foundation, our rock, rock of ages. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. And look at verse 19, and I'll give to you, you disciples, you ministers, you preachers, my church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God's dear Son. And he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And the keys here are figurative, a figurative term for the opening of that kingdom and for the understanding of that kingdom and for the entering in of that kingdom. God gives us the keys. And what is the key? Who Christ is. That's the key. The key to all the treasures of God. All the treasures. Turn to Colossians 2, verse 3. Colossians 2, verse 3. Where are the treasures of wisdom and life and truth? Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 2. Colossians 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement, the confession of the mystery of God, of the Father and Christ, Christ the Son of God, of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The kingdom is Christ. The keys, who he is, the gospel. Gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Let me show you that in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This is what Paul said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Who Christ is. What Christ did. Why? Where he is now. This is what the gospel I preached to you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the key that opens the kingdom of God. To hear the gospel and believe it. Our Lord rebuked the Pharisees. You've got to look at this verse in Luke 11. He rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the Jews for withholding these keys. In Luke 11, verse 49. Now listen, Luke 11, 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, prophets and apostles, God sends, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, might be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, scribes and Pharisees, You've taken away the keys of knowledge. The key of knowledge. That's Christ. That's the Messiah, the Redeemer. You've taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering in, you hindered by withholding the key of knowledge. And that's what he's saying to Peter here. He says, I'll build my church on this rock, Christ, the chief cornerstone. Who he is, what he did, why he did, where he is now, the Son of God, the Redeemer. And I will give you these keys. You take it and preach it. Go to all the world, preach the gospel. And he that believes, he enters in. He that doesn't believe, he's cast out. You've got the key. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does this gospel do on earth? It looses the slave of sin. Sets him free. Is he just set free on earth from his wicked life and wicked... No, he's set free in heaven. What you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. He's bound on earth, bound to a new master. He's a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He's bound to Christ on earth. He's bound to Christ in heaven. Beloved, now we sons of God. I'm not going to have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. What the gospel sets free here is free in heaven. What the gospel does here is done in heaven. What the gospel binds here is bound in heaven. That's right. Now we sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be. But when he shall appear, we'll be like him. Because we're already set free. We're already bound to Christ. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenly. That's what he's talking about. I've got to give you this last thing, because I know when you read this, you wondered, well, why would he not want them to tell people that he's the Christ? Verse 20, then charged he his disciples they should tell no man that he's Jesus the Christ. Don't go around broadcasting this. This has to be revealed. This is a mystery that has to be revealed. Now, the disciples had so freely and fully confessed the Lord to be the Christ. And our Lord expressed his joy and approbation of their confession. And he promised great and glorious things upon their later declaring this. Later declaring this. I'll give you the keys. And you go forth and declare this truth and set people free. But he forbids them gossiping this issue at the present time. And I suggest, I don't have the answer, but I suggest some things that I read. The disciples at this time were not equipped or fit to handle such great and awesome truth. Not yet. He said, I have many things to say to you. You're not yet ready. You can't bear them now. Secondly, the time for the publication of that truth was not yet come. He's not an earthly Jewish king, but a spiritual king. And the cross is his triumph. That's where the triumph took place, on the cross. Now's the time to declare to all people that he's the Christ, the atonement, our righteousness. It shall be declared after the resurrection, when his work is finished, his true mission known. And then this possibility. They start gossiping this truth. Some persons hearing this would rise up and proclaim him king of the Jews, which they did. Let's make him king. They were going to take him by force one time, make him king. But the true knowledge of the Christ has to do not so much with the title or the office as the work. Think about that. Just calling him the Christ with words, that's not it. It's knowing in the heart he's the Christ, being part of God. That's where the work's done. And that possibly is why he told them, just be patient. Don't go out gossiping the title. Let's finish the work. And my Father will reveal it in due time, in his time, to his people. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you.